with a desire. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The association of devotees, Arya Sangama, is... Oh, did I miss that? Okay. My dear highly glorified Lord, if one in the association of pure devotees hears even once the glories of your activities, he does not, unless he is nothing but an animal, give up the association of devotees. For no intelligent person would be so careless as to leave their association. The perfection of chanting and hearing about your glories was accepted even by the goddess of fortune, who desired to hear of your unlimited activities and transcendental glories. Purport. The association of devotees, Arya Sangama, is the most important factor in this world. The word Arya refers to those who are advancing spiritually. In the history of the human race, the Aryan family is considered to be the most elevated community in the world because it adopts the Vedic civilization. The Aryan family is distributed all over the world and is known as Indo-Aryan. In prehistoric days, all of the members of the Aryan family followed the Vedic principles, and therefore they became spiritually advanced. The kings, known as Rajarshis, were so perfectly educated as Kshatriyas, or protectors of the citizens, and so greatly advanced in spiritual life that there was not a bit of trouble for the citizens. The glorification of the Supreme Lord can be very much appreciated by the Aryan family. Although there is no bar for others, the members of the Aryan family very quickly catch the essence of spiritual life. How is it that we are finding it very easy to spread Krishna consciousness among the Europeans and Americans? History reports that the Americans and Europeans proved their capability when they were anxious to expand colonization, but at the present time, being contaminated by the advancement of material science, their sons and grandsons are turning into reprobates. Reprobates. You know what a reprobate is? Someone who is degraded, reproachable. You've heard of the word reproach? To reproach someone is to, you know, for doing the wrong thing. So reprobates are those who are just doing everything wrong, basically. This is due to their having lost their original spiritual culture, which is Vedic civilization. Presently, these descendants of the Aryan family are taking this Krishna consciousness movement very seriously. Others who are associating with them and hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from the lips of pure devotees are also becoming captivated by the transcendental vibration. Transcendental vibrations are very much effective when chanted among Aryans, but even though one does not belong to the Aryan family, he will become a Vaishnava simply by hearing the mantra, because the vibration has great influence over everyone. Maharaj Prithu points out that even the goddess of fortune, who is the constant companion of Lord Narayana, specifically wanted to hear about the Lord's glories. And for the association of the gopis, who are pure devotees, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, underwent severe austerities. The impersonalist may ask why one should bother chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra continually for so many years instead of stopping and trying for Kaivalya, liberation, or merging into the existence of the Lord. an answer. Maharaj Prithu maintains that the attraction of this chanting is so great that one cannot give up the process unless he is an animal. This is the case even if one comes in contact with this transcendental vibration by chance. Prithu Maharaj is very emphatic in this connection. Only an animal can give up the practice of chanting Hare Krishna. Those who are not animals, but actually intelligent, advanced, human, civilized men, cannot give up this practice of continually chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Whoa. Is this one of the examples where Prabhupada said these are my ecstasies? These purports. I mean, you can just imagine Srila Prabhupada speaking these words, feeling the ecstasy of the Maha Mantra, and thinking, as he says here, and as Prithu is saying, that only an animal could give this up. Like a parrot who learns to chant but doesn't know what it is, and goes on chanting, chanting, until somebody teaches the parrot something else to say, and then the parrot stops saying Hare Krishna and says something else. Although even by Mahaprabhu's mercy, we know that even the parrots and the deer and the tigers, and they started chanting. So even, it must be even lower than an animal. Even the animals started chanting, they couldn't give it up either. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Many wonderful things here. And also coming from Jayadvaita, what you were talking about yesterday about Srila Prabhupada's language. His language here is very artful, but technically, academically, not fully accurate. He uses the term Indo-Aryan. Now, technically speaking, according to the common usage of the term Indo-Aryan, what he's appears to be referring to, of course, this gets into an interesting point, because someone may say, oh, he's made a mistake here. It should be Indo-European, because the academic view is that it is from Indo-European came the Indo-Aryans, and the Indo-Aryan refers to those living in this part of the world. But Srila Prabhupada, in one sense, is turning the tables on the academics and saying that it's the Aryan of the Indo-European which spread into Europe. So it's a very interesting idea here. This term Arya, I looked up on our Vedabase.net. VBT has Vedabase.net. So you can, it had one of its features is that is it catalogs all these Sanskrit words and where they're found in different verses. So the word Arya is found in many places. And the first occasion is in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. And I thought this was also relevant here because it, animals also appear in this verse. So this is the first canto, 18th chapter, verse 45. Tadarya dharma pravaliya ninam vanashama chara yutas trayamaya tutorita kama bivineshatatmanam shunam kipinam eva varna sankaraha. So the translation, at that time the people in general will fall systematically from the path of progressive civilization, in respect to the qualitative engagements of the castes and the orders of society and the Vedic injunctions. Thus, they will be more attracted to economic development for sense gratification, and as a result, there will be an unwanted population on the level of dogs and monkeys. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes that the Vedic way of life is the progressive march of the civilization of the Aryans. The Aryans are progressive in Vedic civilization. So throughout in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find this term Arya to refer to civilized human beings. An uncivilized human being is basically an animal. What is the difference between humans and animals? Human beings have civilization. Now, there are various kinds of civilization, however. If you look at animals in various parts of the world, for example, ants. Of course, they're insects, not animals, but anyway, they're not human beings. They have actually their own kind of civilization, their own kind of society. Some of these societies have been studied. I read recently that there's one species of ant whose society now spreads through the globe. They have a global society. You take an ant of this species in South America and you bring it together with an ant of this species in Australia, and they'll know each other. If you bring them together with an ant of a different species, they'll fight. But if you bring these two ants of the same species from completely different parts of the world, they can recognize each other. Their society is spread all over the world. Ants. But are they civilized? The silverbacks, the great apes, gorillas in Africa are studied all the time. And they have all kinds of societal situations where there's higher and lower and so on. I once saw a documentary on the monkeys in Udaipur, Jaisalmer, someplace up in Rajasthan, and how their society works. And they studied, and you could see how the different levels and ranks and privileges and rituals, and they have all these accoutrements. But do we call this civilized? So if our Hare Krishna, if we look around to our own society, and if we see that the same activities of the dogs and the monkeys, Svavid Varahostakarai Samstutapurashapashu, one of Prabhupada's favorite verses, I think, isn't it? He was fond of this. Men who are like dogs and hogs and camels and asses. Praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. So, if we look around, we see what appears to be civilized life. But with further study, little closer examination, what is it? It is simply polished animal life. It is something like when we look down on the ants, we see them rushing around and doing whatever they're doing. To us, we can see this is just simply ant life. So as we come to a higher platform, a higher goal, the word Arya refers to, in other places, those who understand the value of life. This is the meaning of a civilized person. They understand the value of their human life. What is its value? What is its true value? Other forms of life have their own specific value. They're very good for different things. If you want to be a magnificent swimmer, you get a dolphin's body or some other type of shark or whatever is a magnificent body to have. For sex life, there are also some pretty good types of bodies where restrictions on sexual enjoyment are less. For eating, you want to eat, who can compare to the hog in the ability to eat and enjoy eating? The hog is able to enjoy unlimited kinds of eating, finding tastes in everything. So various forms of life have their own specific value, but the human form of life, its value, its actual value, is the capacity to hear and receive the knowledge of Krishna. So when we receive this, the transcendental vibration of the Maha Mantra, again here, the pure devotees are mentioned. Yesterday, we talked about pure devotees. And in this purport, we have exactly what you described. We go from the pure devotees, others who are associating with them. He's talking about us, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. And he's saying that others who are associating with them and hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from the lips of pure devotees are also becoming captivated by the transcendental vibration. So in one purport, he's speaking of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement as pure devotees. And in the next paragraph, he talks about the gopis who are pure devotees. So we can see his artistry with this language of pure devotion. One of my difficulties with those who ascribe different interpretations. And the fact is that when we hear Srila Prabhupada, when we study Srila Prabhupada, we will interpret. We must interpret. It's not that we can understand Srila Prabhupada or the Shastra or any spiritual knowledge without utilizing our own faculties of interpretation, of understanding. Basically, interpretation means, here's something, how do I understand it? How do I interpret? How do I bring this? There's a foreign language. When someone speaks a foreign language, someone interprets so that we can understand it. So in our own, by our own minds and using intelligence and using the method prescribed by Shastra and Guru, we learn how to interpret and understand Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Without that process of interpretation, we cannot understand. We have to bring it into our own frame of reference and our own way of seeing things, to be able to see it as it is. And we're given hints how to do that. One of those is that we have to, when we hear, we don't make the mistake of hearing things out of context. For example, in this two purports, in these two paragraphs, if we take the word pure devotee and we take it out of the context that Srila Prabhupada is speaking, we may interpret in one way. We may interpret in the wrong way. So the art of understanding, of properly interpreting and assimilating, bringing in the words of our acharyas, is something we have to practice in the association of devotees. This is what Srila Prabhupada is saying, what Prithu Maharaj is saying. The association of devotees. If we give up the association of devotees, that's Prabhupada then leads into the giving up the chanting of Hare Krishna. But Prithu is talking about giving up the association of devotees. My dear highly glorified Lord, if one in the association of pure devotees hears even once the glories of your activities, he does not, unless he is nothing but an animal, give up the association of devotees. For no intelligent person would be so careless as to leave their association. Careless. What is it? Carelessness. You have something very valuable, something greatly valuable, and you leave it over in Churchgate Station. You're carrying a suitcase full of 5 lakh of rupees or something. And you just say, oh, there's some really good bhel puri in that stall over there. So let me go enjoy that. And you leave your case of 5 lakh of rupees sitting on Churchgate Station. How long do you think that would last? So giving up the association of devotees, it is that kind of carelessness. It is so valuable. So only an animal. And those who are not animals, here this is Srila Prabhupada's conclusion, is so strong. Those who aren't animals, but are actually intelligent, advanced, human, civilized, they cannot give up the practice of continually chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Who can, any questions or additions, please fill out my lame. I have to thank one devotee here, if he's here. Vamana is. Anyway, there's only one reason why I was able to sit here without offending everybody. Is because he sprinkled Kumbh Mela jaw on my head just before coming here, and Godavari. So now, that was a great, and I must thank him. Hare Krishna.
Perhaps a suitable literal definition as used by Srila Prabhupada for pure devotee would be someone who has accepted a process based on the Abhivashita Shunyam Gyanakam Ajnanavritam Anukulin, which means that the members of ISKCON have accepted this process which is based on pure devotion. Therefore, he considers them to be pure devotees. Perhaps.
And I think particularly this, he's especially talking about our presentation of the transcendental vibration of Mahamantra. When we accept the Hari Nam and we bring it into our lives with though that mood, that of surrendering to the holy name, then that's the kind of pure devotion that Srila Prabhupada indicates enables the holy name to pass to others. That mood of accepting the holy name as the holy name, not as a cinema song, but as the holy name of Krishna, as non-different from Krishna. When we accept Harinam as non-different from Krishna, we bring Harinam into our lives, Harinam can come through us. Hare Krishna. Anyone else can please help us? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai, Haribo.